well, mea culpa, as I say. after last week, I had a reaction to our conversation, and what happened is that for various reasons, I got caught up in what I call citationitis. This is where I spend a lot of time getting really competitive with everybody else and listing all these incredibly obscure books. Now, I know that I don't have an opportunity to share my completely worthless lifetime of reading and knowledge with everybody.
Oh, that's worthless. You know that.
Well, but what, you know, this idle obscure knowledge, you know, readings that I do and everything, it's true that I don't have an opportunity to display this with many people. And so this is obviously something that I can easily be faulted for. But what I wanted to try to clarify when it comes to our discussion is what I'd really like us to try to do, and I think all of us can do this. We don't have to have read all these obscure books. They may or may not feed into our conversation, but for the most part, what I'd like us to do is to discuss...
Has arrived. I'm sorry, Paul. Discuss what?
I want to, for our conversation, instead of citing secondary sources from the get-go, I would like us to discuss what we've actually read, in other words, the chapters that we've read, and what we think of the story, the plot, the characters, and the various devices, which we've talked a little bit about, like what immateria is and so forth. And, you know, and delve into, even though it might seem that we're talking about what we think we all understand, I think what would happen is if we do that, we will see that we'll have more problems with some of the characters in terms of who they are and what they are. We'll find that we have variant perceptions, which actually will be very informative, I think, in the long term. So in other words, instead of talking about secondary sources, you know, about, let's try to talk about the text and the characters and the plot that we're actually reading, that we all share, and then we'll bring our lifetime experience to that. So that way we're all experts.
But isn't a part of your lifetime experience what you have read and what you have absorbed?
Yeah, well, yes and no. But the thing is, I personally find that that competitive streak in me should not be fed. It's sort of like a little Tasmanian devil.
Okay.
Okay. I would also like to add, Paul. Paul, may I add? I would also like to add that I would like, as an artist, to look at the graphics also, because it is an illustrated novel or illustrated story, and if we just go with the text, I think we lose something if we don't look at the graphics at least a little bit, you know, because there may be symbols there.
Oh yeah, there's a whole page, two pages in here, in which there's no dialogue at all. I mean, what's coming up, we're going to read. So yeah, we've got.
I would like to do an analysis of the graphics a bit. You know, just a bit, you know.
Joanna, I really support that because it is a big part of the story. And one of the nice things about this book is that there's so much in it, you know, like these city images. When there's, you know, when Sophie and Stacy are waiting for a taxi cab or something. There's just endless details in the background that really set the tone and atmosphere of the whole world that the story takes place in. For instance, there's often a lot of very sexual kinds of imagery, like sex clubs and massage parlors, and that's part of it, because for more sexuality underlies magic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's setting a quality there, and then you have Weeping Gorilla, and, you know, all these little bits that are just hilarious, and all these, you know, restaurants and things, and it's just very comic. And something else we haven't talked about, which has always intrigued me with Prometheus, it's set in 1999, but it's obviously also the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's an alternative 1999 in which taxi cabs float through the air and, you know, there's all these wonderful, marvelous things that we don't have in our own world. So it's, you know, what's that about? And so I think the art, the imagery is a very significant part of it.
I agree. And it's funny that you bring this up right now because I was reading this chapter last night. I have not read Prometheus before, so I'm just reading a chapter at a time before our call. And for the first time, the graphic element of it, I mean, I'm a word person. I'm a wordsmith. I'm a writer. For the first time, the graphic element of it just hit me across the face in this particular chapter. It's just, it's amazing. It is utterly amazing. And, yeah, I mean, not that I haven't been looking at the backgrounds before, but it really, really struck me last night as I was reading this. So, good timing.
Oh, and another.
Yeah, well, I figure, well, as I said, we're gonna get our stride eventually, as far as stuff goes.
Oh, and just one more thing. I did not discover this. My husband discovered this. They have, in a way, there's a whole bunch of physicists out there who have broken the code to alternative universes.
Cool.
It was written up. And there is definitely the coming upon it as proof.
I was just thinking about this last night, Joanna. I was wondering if there was any experimental proof of all that alternative universes exist.
I have to find, I'll send Paul the information and he
Let
will distribute it. It is so fascinating. I got chills reading it.
How funny.
Yeah.
So I guess fringes really are entry into the.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they have to a little bit.
I think maybe that's what we sometimes tap into when we do readings and we get it right on the spot.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Gee, was this dream I had this morning? I had two cousins that I didn't know who were union organizers, and one of them got robbed, and I had to give him some money. That's neither here nor there.
Oh, don't tell me you're going to stop making a tarot union. Okay.
They were union. I think they were organizing for the mines or something.
Okay, we're in the poppy. Okay, well, maybe we should start now.
Yeah, let us go. So let's deal with this. Obviously. If anybody wants to mention an image when they're reading a character, they can do that. But what we'll do is afterwards, after we've read the comic, we'll go back and look at the pictures and talk about them.
Oh, I have one little housekeeping issue. I will be traveling to Reader Studio next Wednesday, so I will not be on the call. I don't know if anybody else will be.
Do we have anybody else not going to be here because of Reader Studio? Only one person?
I'm going early.
I won't be here.
Okay. And Val won't be here either.
Yes, and Sherry.
And Val won't be here either, right?
And Val
no, Val won't either.
Well, that's three of us.
Maybe we should...
We could suspend it for a week.
Yeah, I think it'll be easier if we suspend it for a week, just because people are getting ready to go to Reader's Studio.
Uh-huh.
All right, and it's next week we're off.
Okay, we'll take next. You'll send out an email, right, Paul?
I'll send out an email saying
okay.
We're not meeting next week.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
And you can post it on Ning, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, on that, now let's, we've got characters.
In character.
And we want to,
Okay.
Anybody have?
I think we may have to double up. We don't have to have that many people. Prometheus got a lot to say.
Yeah, this is the Margaret Taylor case, Prometheus.
Mm-hmm. So, who wants to be Prometheus? No one's volunteering.
I don't think I'm up to being Prometheus today.
Okay, this is Sherry. I don't like to jump in since I'm not here every week, but I'll be Prometheus.
Good.
Well, since you're not here every week, this is your chance to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
You might discover that this is your Prometheus.
And we also have to do Sophie.
Militant. Promethea.
Is that Sophie? Sophie speaks to Promethea, right?
Sophie.
Yeah, and Sophie's important here. And the rest of them are relatively minor characters.
I'll do Stacy again, my favorite character, because also it's early. So
all right.
I have to leave before we finish reading. It won't be a problem.
All right. Well, I'll be the soldier.
Okay, so we got Promethea, the soldier. Now we need, what do you call Sophie?
Kenneth, yeah.
I'll be Sophie. I could be Sophie.
And I'll be my favorite character, Barbara.
Barbara.
I'll be Barbara again.
I
don't look like Barbara, but...
somebody in a fine voice want to be the Pandalorians. I think they say a few things.
Those are so cool.
They are. They're really funny characters.
I'm familiar with them.
And we have Kenneth again.
Yeah, that's good.
David, do you want to be Kenneth?
I don't know. Where is he on the pages?
He's one of the five swell guys. He's the psychic's five swell guys. He doesn't have a lot to say, if I remember right. Well,
he's got
a little bit to say.
Yeah.
I'll
do it.
All right. It's not a group.
Cynthia has arrived.
Okay. So.
And I'll be the nurse in the hospital.
Yeah, the nurse and. I've got creatures down here. I forget who they are. I guess whoever the Pandalorians are could be the creatures.
Yeah, and then you have doctors. You have some doctors here.
Yeah, doctors, nurse, anybody these are all some really small parts for the most part. Anybody want to grab any of them?
Cynthia,
I'll do a few narrative things here.
Yeah. There's also another five-star guy, the mechanic one, but very short, just talking to them for a moment.
Okay.
Very, very short role. Stan, that's it.
So, you press, Promethea, chapter 5, and past Promethea arrives. A symbolic landscape explored. A spiritual journey continues.
We're on 5, right?
Liberty, yes.
Okay.
You press 1915. Okay, this is a soldier who is me. Okay. Hello? Hello, lads. Come on, who's awake? Come on, you lazy buggers. Harry? Charlie? Come on. Wake up. And I'll wake us all a cup of tea. How's that? Lads? Oh, God. Oh, God. Sissy. God. I'm in a mess. I wish I was home with you and Mum. And I've done for Sissy, we're all done for.
No, God's universe is not itself unkind. There is love and there is comfort. And soft, sweet wings that gather up the fallen. You are brave, young friends, are dead. I've come to take you home.
I've gone already, haven't I? I'm dead. And you're an angel. I've heard of chaps who've seen them.
You're not dead, but your foot is wounded and infected. We must get you to safety swiftly. And I'm not an angel. Not exactly. My name's Promethea. Can you stand?
Yes, if you help me. I can't place your voice. Sometimes you sound like an Arab and sometimes... like a yank.
I'm a little of both. Dear gracious gods, all of these stinking holes are full of corpses, children like you.
We're men. I'm 18. Well, almost. We're going. This is our country and God's with us.
I mean, isn't
I mean,
he... Oh, no, that's the soldier.
Yeah, I guess it's cool.
I see that.
I mean, isn't... He, isn't he? You know, wouldn't you? this is what God wants, isn't it?
No, this is what God's trying to help us up from. Come with me. We have a long, dark miles to tread before the dawn. And I think this is...
This is Sophie speaking. Next thing.
Okay. And according to the soldier, she said, come with me. We have long, dark miles to tread before the dawn. Then she helps him back behind his own lines. I've read a lot of similar accounts, but this is the most detailed.
Yeah, God's so good. Prometheus, though, when you look at it, how much it is about it? I mean, it's sort of creepy. All of a sudden, it's out on the net, like some woman in a church service who suddenly starts testifying, beginning, I am Prometheus. Then there's this Helene Csikszentmihalyi book, which we actually had in the library here at college.
What's that?
It's called The Book of Prometheus, and it's translated from French by someone called Betsy Wing. It's sort of like the book conjures this ideal lover, this imaginary goddess. Here, listen to this. First of all, Prometheus is a woman. I can describe her, and I will do so. It will be hard, because she has a simplicity that defies description, but at the same time, she is a heroine of infinity.
Wow, that's beautiful. And this is a woman writing this?
Well, like, yeah. I mean, the author happens to be a lesbian, but, like, so what? I mean, God, this is 1999. You know, so sometimes you can be real homophobic.
I thought I was an enormous lesbo.
Yeah, well, you're an enormous homophobic closet lesbo. Anyway, I'm taking this book home just out of intellectual curiosity. So you better not make fun of me.
I think a librarian.
This is the librarian. Sophie, Benage, we received a message for you in the office.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Lucas. What's up?
Well, we've got a call from South Tower Hospital. Seems there's a friend of yours there. They say, they said you should go right away.
Oh, God. Barbara.
Okay, so now we're at the hospital, and she's running
Kenneth.
In.
Kenneth. This is Kenneth, yeah.
Hey, I know you. We saw you last night. And that woman was here earlier. She's something to do with you?
Look, I'm here visiting a sick friend. I gotta go.
Yes, that's pretty much what she said.
Oh, God. Barbara, what's wrong?
Complications. I think I've got an infection. Looks like a son of a bitch Shmi was right. He killed me after all.
Listen, you're not dead. You're going to be okay.
Yeah, sure. Except that ain't what Jack Faust told you in the library this morning. Me and the other Prometheus, we were watching from the immateria.
Other Prometheus? Barbara, if you were watching, then you know what Faust said about Prometheus.
Ending the world. Yeah. Sophie, Faust was messing with your head. That's what magicians do. You've got bigger problems. Benny Solomon, he's heading your way with a full 26-pack of devils. You have to go into the immateria. You have to learn how to deal with it. Right now. In your mind.
Oh.
Yeah, you've got it. Just let everything slide. Faust did this to you, didn't he? The laying on the hands. Just let go. You're nearly there. You're nearly... And then she's into this beautiful world. Okay.
It's different every time. Okay, I'm imagining this. I'm sitting in the hospital, and I'm imagining this. Debatable.
These are the,
debatable, while it's practically intractable.
Continue with the
pandemonium, whatever they are.
The pandalorium.
She's clearly sitting here, imagining a hospital, yet she claims the complete reverse. I agree. It's worse than intractable. It's infalsifiable. In fact, it's near infallible. All right.
I love it. I love that voice.
What are you?
We are the supreme deities of the cosmos. We can prove we have lovely numbers and we talk back to front. Do you have anything to trade?
Trade? I don't remember. Is that why I came here?
Of course it is. You must recall, we made arrangements with your aunt. All the important balloons were tourniqueted. Hurry up and decide. It's impeccative. Vermin be gone. I will not have pandalariums in this place. I think you heard me. Leave or burn. Arrak!
Jeez, what were they?
The pandalariums? Oh, they're just distractions. Gibberish, fluttering thoughts to lead the mind astray. You have to be stern with them. I'm Margaret, by the way. You must be Sophie.
Yeah, Sophie Bangs. I guess you're here to meet me because...
Because I'm who you thought about most recently. Yes, there are rules. Surprisingly simple, once you know them. I'm glad you came, Sophie. You need counseling. You need advice.
Yeah, that's what Barbara said. Listen, first off, I am sitting in a hospital imagining this conversation, right?
Well, yes, your body is sitting in a physical location, and this is all the imagination. Not your imagination, though. The imagination.
The imagination? You make it sound like there's only one of them.
There is. There's a material world, and there's an immaterial world. Both worlds exist, but in different ways. For example, chairs exist. So does the idea of chairs.
Well, yeah, but I mean, everybody's imaginations are separate, aren't they? I mean, everyone has their own private mental space.
Of course they do. Just like their house is their own private physical space. But the territory outdoor belongs to everyone.
But if your mind behaved like a place, I mean, every time anyone followed a trail of thought...
They'd be walking a pathway in the immaterial. Humans are amphibia, Sophie. That means they live in two worlds at once, matter and mind. Yet many people only notice the solid world they have been conditioned to think of as more real. Why, all about them, diamond glaciers creak and star volcanoes thunder.
But what about ideas? Why do some people have better ideas than others?
Ideas grow like flowers here. Some are common ideas, found everywhere. But if you want the rare ideas, the more exotic blossoms, you have to travel further. Artists, scientists, philosophers, they're the pioneers of these territories.
But you're saying anybody could explore this place if they wanted to?
Yes. That's why Promethea's enemies find her so threatening. It's what she represents.
What do you mean?
I mean, Jack Frost told you that Promethea was intended to end the world. In a way, he was right. Promethea makes people more aware of the vast and material realm. Maybe tempts them to explore it. Imagine if too many people followed where she led. It would be like the great Zonian leap from sea to land. Humanity slithering up from the beach, from one element into another. From matter to mind. We have many names for this event. We call it the rapture. We call it the opening of the 32nd path. We call it the awakening or the revelation or apocalypse. But end of the world, do?
But the end of the world, that's a bad thing, right?
The world? Is it the world? Isn't the planet or the life and people on it? The world is our systems, our politics, our economics, our ideas of the world. It's our flags and our banknotes and our border wars. It was Rickbrick. I was at the Samoa. I say, end this filthy mess now.
Jack Faust, he said Promethea was her father's dying curse upon humanity.
Curse? Promethea wasn't his curse upon existence. She was his gift to it. Promethea is imagination. What other comfort did the poor boy who died here have? What else except Wilfred Owen's poems or the angel or Mons or Promethea if you have heard them, all those boys, there was nothing I could do. They were calling for their Please excuse me. It's silly, really. I was just a cartoonist. My only concerns were my art, my deadlines, and my paycheck. Then Promethea happened to me, and all of a sudden I felt responsible for the problems of the whole world, for every avoidable disaster and plague. When the First World War erupted, it felt like a personal failure.
But, I mean, wars just happen. How is that a failure on your part?
Because Promethea is imagination, and because war, all war and conflict, is not but the failure of imagination. The Four Horsemen don't cause the apocalypse. After all, they've been riding for centuries, hanging over our head. They merely symbolize what life on Earth is already like. They show us why we need an apocalypse. Mankind must imagine a way to rise above the perilous material situations that it has created. That's why Promethea is necessary.
But what you're saying, it's like Promethea is the human race's ticket to the Immateria, and the Immateria is like the promised land. So why is everybody, you know, trying to kill me?
Here, climb onto this. There are some people with a vested interest in keeping the world as it is, because that's the world they have power over. You see, in the Immateria, there's no rent, no tax, no property, there's no real estate, no boundary fences, no limits. It's important that you understand how measureless and power and splendor are the territories which you represent. In truth, the beauties of the solid and material universe are but a part of the rich spectrum of existence. The one-tenth of an iceberg that is visible above the tideline of reality. Matter is that part of being that has crystallized. Where the mind's light has petrified to concrete substance. Beyond substance is imagination. The moonlit realm of dream and fiction. Sexual fantasy and the unconscious mind. These lunar attributes, imagination and romance, are the gem-crusted gateways of the Immateria.
Just a gateway? But I thought dreams and imaginations were like the whole deal.
No, they're just the way in. Beyond the lunar sphere lies the mercurial brain.
What's the noise of the conversation?
Hello? Cynthia, I hear you.
And of language.
There's a feedback or a conversation feeding in or noise or something.
Well, you, if you don't have a speaking part for a while, you can put yourself on
mute.
Mute, either through your phone or through star 6.
Humankind's most precious gift, communication, has its wellspring here. Still, intellect isn't everything.
So, like, the Immateria is a map of what's inside people, not just the universe beyond them?
The worlds inside and outside, us, have the same structure, the same pattern. Journeying beyond even the intellectual idea of shape or form, we next traverse the rich Venusolian landscape of emotion. Passing that, still more rarefied, more tenuous, even in feelings, love or joy or sorrow, lie the golden solar reaches of the human soul. This is the burnished fleck of self, within each individual, the highest human plane within the Immateria. Beyond lies the transhuman realms of forces, absolute and universal.
The weather feels like it's getting rougher.
We're moving through the stern and martial stratosphere of universal judgment, tilting in the very balance of the cosmos. Hold tight, Sophie, hold tight.
Ah, I'm slipping. Where did all these rain clouds come from?
Past universal judgment are the sheltering Jupiterian skies of universal mercy, where the gods of storm and lightning play. Beyond that is the chasm of the far edge of existence, where...
Margaret, we're falling.
Damn, it's no good. We're tipping over. Don't worry. Remember this whole journey through your imagination. You can't be hurt. Your body is somewhere else.
I think this is one of the five swell guys talking next. No, doctor. It's the doctor.
Uh-oh. What the hell happened here? Isn't that the college kids who came visiting the Shelley woman? Somebody want to be the nurse?
Yes, and she's unconscious. God, I hope it's not that weird infection that's killing Shelley. Get me a squeal chair over here.
Sure. You know, the whole Shelley thing is creepy. You see that...
Marty has left the conference.
Visited her, the Arab woman with the snakes.
Yeah, it's the millennium, I guess. Crazy times. Help, I can't lift her.
Boom. There you go, boy. She's out like a light. You think she's on dope?
Could be. We'll stick her in the side ward downstairs and keep an eye on her. Incidentally, you hear any more on the Baskerville case?
What? The mayor? Yeah. I saw texture how one of his multiple personalities, Little Sonny, also had multiple personalities. Go figure. Okay. You got hold of the elevator?
Well, the God. Multiple personalities with multiple personalities. The mind's a peculiar place.
This is Kenneth, and,
Well, first the doctor says something, though.
Oh, he says, okay, easy does it. Let the doors close. And this is Stan and Kenneth. All right, I'll be Stan.
Look, I'll do it there.
Oh, here he is. Here's David.
Reported seeing the painted doll haul himself out of the Hudson this morning. So he survived. I just hope Marv does, too. Are you listening to me?
I want to let you know that that's Stan you're doing, and Kenneth is the guy in black. Mm-hmm. But I'll be Kenneth so that we're clear.
I'll be the squeal chair.
Go on. Continue being Stan, David.
Hey, listen to me, bud. Listen to me, bud.
Yeah, of course. I'm sorry, Stan. I was just noticing that teenage girl they brought out from the elevator. We met her last night before the firefight. Yeah,
you're right. She sure gets around, don't she?
What? Margaret? Margaret, where did you go? Margaret! Oh, crap. Look, you can get out of this. It's just imagination. You can just open your eyes, right? Okay, on three. One, two. Or, of course, there's always plan B. Well. After that imaginary climb, I imagine I'm pretty exhausted. This sucks. This whole thing, it really, really sucks. It's like they say they want to teach me stuff. I mean, how to get home would be good. Jeez. Okay, think. Think hard. This isn't one of the higher levels of the immateria that Margaret talked about. Everything shifts and changes too much. I'm still in the dreamlike region. Maybe I'm in Misty Magic Land or somewhere. Oh, God, what if I get lost? Maybe that's what happens to depressed people or crazy people. They wander out of the safe and sane areas of their minds, and they wind up somewhere bad and wild and I'm at the gates of High Brazil.
Neptura's protectorship. Travelers, turn back. Or actually, in 2 weeks. Amazing Grace.
Okay, we have impaled heads. Okay, can we just go through some of the illustrations?
After you mentioned it, Johan, I thought that was really an important thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Shall we start at the beginning?
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the beginning of chapter or at the beginning of the text, the whole text?
Yeah, beginning of the chapter. We can start with the,
Yeah.
I also suggest that you look at the author's notes, because he does talk about how the illustrations, like the cover illustrations, are are mock-ups of certain styles of illustration, popular illustration.
Yeah, don't look at
I do want to mention the Angel of Mons was like this huge big deal during World War One, and Virginia Woolf addresses that in her diaries, I think, where I believe both English and German soldiers saw angels in the sky.
Yes, I agree that I think that was an allusion to that.
Okay.
That's phenomenon.
And World War One was a particularly brutal, brutal war for the British. That they lost an entire generation of young men.
The okay, to get back to the illustrations.
On the illustrations,
the poppy.
The poppies, yes. Exactly. In winter fields, poppies grow, you know, and here they are.
So we have to deal with the poppies, because they're throughout. Now, of course, we know what poppies are and what they portend, substances that they pretend to give.
I don't know if anybody's ever smoked opium, but the you go into a very active dream state, which is something you put into your life after experiencing it with some regularity. Unfortunately, heroin doesn't do the same thing.
This is what you call a visual foreshadowing of what's happening to Barbara and Sophie later on in the hospital.
Yeah, that's true.
The poppies. So the poppies showing up right away. It's like really brilliant.
And also roses.
Yeah,
the roses. There's a white rose when she's being escorted by Promethea. Margaret.
What page are you on, Jeff?
Oh, I don't have a page number.
No, come up as we turn the pages.
Yeah,
let's look at the. Let's look at that.
I was going to mention also on the poppies. Of course, they are also, in addition to a source of hallucinogenics, they are a source of pain medication. The morphia, and obviously, there's a lot of pain on these first few pages. So
right.
Well,
ironically, Afghanistan is a huge grower of the poppy. And it's just amazing how everything changes, but nothing changes.
Yeah.
Promethea on the cover is dressed in a certain way with a helmet and a thing. Now, that was a common symbol for liberty during World War One, if I remember right.
In the United States or England?
No, liberty is...
I don't have it located. I'm just saying that the image was common in that period.
Okay.
In the notes you talked about Maxwell Parrish, and that was one of his things.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm glad somebody looked at the notes. There's another thing here. She has a shield, and one of the things that comes up in later chapters is that Promethea is being subtly instructed in her four elements, which are her weapons. And the shield represents the pentagram to a degree as a weapon, I believe. And
of course, the disc is the final. If you look at the Celebusca, there's tens of discs throughout.
Wait. Let's deal with what's going on here. She also has the Caduceus, which hasn't been developed yet. But I'm not sure if she's. specifically being where she's being taught what these elements are at this point explicitly. But it comes up later that's what the Prometheans are doing with her. They're trying to teach her enough self-defense that she can survive the assault of the temple that's coming up. This is, future chapters.
And this Promethea looks so much like the young Sophie, the college student Sophie.
She does. I hadn't noticed that before, but you're right.
Yeah, she's the militant savior. So in some ways, what they're saying is that angel that you mentioned,
Angel Amon.
Yeah, was is a manifestation of Promethea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In this alternate world.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the other thing that goes along with the poppies is the barbed wire.
Yes.
It may be sweet and enticing, but it's also dangerous.
Right.
And in most cultures, most Western cultures, off limits.
Turning the page, Promethea is announcing herself.
Paul?
Pleasantly draped, yeah.
That's something about the poppy.
Physically draped, yeah.
The poppies in World War I were very significant. Have nothing to do with opium. They grew, I guess, in France, someplace, so that they became a symbol of the fallen soldiers.
Yes.
And for many, many years afterwards, Armistice Day, which we know as Veterans Day,
yeah,
was celebrated by veterans selling poppy flowers.
Yes, right. And they still sell them in the streets.
Yeah.
Not real ones, artificial ones.
That's like its first meaning is memorial to the soldiers.
Good point.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Thank you.
I have to go because I have a client coming. So I'll see you all next time.
We're going to be not meeting next week, but the week after that. Okay.
And I've got dibs on playing Grace.
We'll see you. So those of who are going to be there, I'll see you at Reader Studio.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we can all stage Promethea Reader Studio.
Yeah. Right. you're going to make a presentation of
we'll
the
do a live reading.
Figure. Yeah.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, Rachel.
See you soon. Rachel
has left the conference.
On page 51 of the notes, Paul, there's a picture by Maxwell Parrish and shows a picture of Promethea.
Right. From the Edison Mazda.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where that figure comes from.
Now, when you turn the page and you go into reality again, there's a
the big, library and
yes,
and
you have the School of Elevated Minds.
Yes.
And the Weeping Gorilla, I don't know if you could see, it's on the billboard, says that Tamagotchi trusted me.
I can't see.
No, I have, believe it or not, I have an illuminated desk lamp with a magnifier on it. That Tamagotchi trusted me.
It's a billboard. It's up on the second page. Tamagotchi trusted.
Oh, yes.
And also that the pigeons are doves, or white doves, which I think is very interesting.
And white doves show up later, too, when she's in the Immateria, but we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
So then, of course, one of the things that's coming is this GL-27.
Yeah.
Which is some kind of thing. And School of Elevators. Or
Elevated Minds.
Yeah, School of Elevated Minds. And it's up in the air. I love that.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. And then, of course, the police are above that.
Yes.
And the taxis and the cars.
They're on the escalator to the library.
He's definitely making a political statement.
Yes.
At least, more in this chapter since we've been reading.
Absolutely.
And the political statement is for the events of us.
dense. Well, number one.
Anti-war.
Number one, you can't. Well, throughout the whole thing, just the mayor having multiple personality disorder means that you cannot trust politicians.
Right.
You cannot trust the political aspect of any of the world, whatever is shown, because no matter what, it's all based on control.
And best interest. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Those in control will dictate for their own means anything. They will keep you back, even the best of intentions, just to have what they want. There was a great public service announcement. I have not seen it. I saw it only once. And it was a man speaking that every dollar that we spend on gasoline goes directly to Iran, who we are basically, by our gasoline consumption, supports our enemies.
That's always been the case, Shahana.
No, but it's never been made public. It's never been made public. It was never made, and then it disappeared. This public service announcement totally disappeared.
So what I have to say, books have been written all about this sort of thing. They've been taken out of print, reprinted, out of print, reprinted, out of print. One of them
is the First
Amendment,
right?
I don't want to digress because
let's get back to the illustration.
Yeah.
I noticed something.
You're going through the illustrations.
I noticed something that I wanted to point out in the School of Elevated Minds, in the shaft that looks like, I don't know what, an elevator shaft at the bottom of it. The gentleman standing there in the cape, he looks a little bit like maybe the gentleman in the Two of Wands or the Three of Wands.
Oh,
Three of Wands card in the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. I don't know. He just reminded me.
Well, he's one of the five swell guys.
Is he?
I think that's...
We'll find out. You've got to remember his colors.
No, maybe not. Maybe not. No, that's actually... Perhaps the School of Elevated Minds is the library.
Oh, excuse me. One second. Somebody's at my door. If I go to mute, that does it?
Yeah, go to jail. Just hit mute. It'll be fine.
Okay, so now we're in the hospital.
Okay, we flipped over to the hospital where we have Tower Hospital. 16401. And if anybody, I don't know if anybody wants to do a numerological take on this thing.
7,
and
8,
we have
12, it's a 3. It's a 3, it's
the
Empress.
Three of Wands, I agree. Anyway,
Then we have, by the way, that foot with the multicolored foot thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia
has left the conference.
It could be the painted doll. Kenneth.
I'm sorry, the what thing, Paul?
The painted doll.
But what flip thing? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, the foot, the high heel.
Oh, the foot. Okay, I thought you said the flip, and I thought, what?
And then the next panel down, where Sophie's rushing by, and Kenneth is with Marv. Marv is the African-American guy who's ill. That's why those five souls guys are there. And then Kenneth says, hey, you, I saw you last night, right? And he's the psychic of the five squad guys. He's the one who gets befuddled by her, by peeking into immateria, which distracts him terribly.
And he's visiting a black man.
That's Marv.
That's Marv, okay.
Yeah, he's the genius of the five squad guys. He doesn't say a lot or do a lot of this thing. Apparently he's been ill. I think he was attacked by a bomb from the painted doll. And the painted doll does some nefarious stuff in a couple of chapters coming up. And if Rachel were here, she might be able to fill us in on the backstory, because apparently they were going on in another comic series that was appearing at the same time called Tom Strong. And so there's some crossover between these stories. So that's backstory with that. I haven't looked at any of the Tom Strong comics to
Now, you know what's also interesting is Barbara is not in a hospital gown.
No, she's in her bra.
She's in her bra, almost like she's ready to go at any moment.
Yeah.
Like, that is so weird.
Of course, her bed looks like a Swiss Army knife.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
A Swiss Army bed.
Yeah, apparently they're a little more high-tech in their hospital stuff than we are in our dimension. There's
except
some interesting things going
chair.
On here. We have the induction of Sophie at the bottom, and you notice the sort of swirly
curlicues, yeah.
Yeah, whirls of immateria begins to move forward.
I have.
It's actually coming out of her shirt.
Also, look across at Ken and Sophie going into the elevators. The elevators only go up.
Well, that one does. Yeah, hey, you're right.
I mean, it could be the ground floor, so there's only one way to go is up.
Right.
But that is
weird.
That's kind of weird. If you want to go down, you can't get there.
Yeah, right. If you go up, you can't get down.
Oh,
that's weird. That is a clue, I think.
Kind of like the Hotel California. You can, you know, check out anytime you want.
Well, I always tell, I mean, have you been of the belief that once you open up the astral doorway, you really can't shut it? It always stays open a bit to affect your life?
Put a little wedge in there or something? You know?
It's not even that. You can't close it. That's it. You're done for, kiddo.
Okay.
For good or for evil.
There is a thing that once you realize the interconnections of the various states of consciousness in waking state, then you can consciously go into dreaming state while still awake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just the daydream, which is sort of a threshold state, but close to this astral thing. You might have a point there, and obviously the veils between between these levels, which seem quite distinct. You know, people like to think that when I'm dreaming, and when I'm awake, and when I'm in deep sleep, I'm in deep sleep. And they seem to be discrete. They seem to be separate, but in reality, they're continuous, and it's sort of like one. Comes front stage as opposed to not being particularly off stage.
Right. It's so, what you're paying attention to. It's all there all the time, but it's what you're paying attention to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now we have, we flip the page, we go into this wonderful graphic of the immateria.
Oh. Oh,
and you notice this is her again, very similar to the way she appeared a few panels back, but she's softer now might be the word. I don't know if it's exactly the way I want to put it. Let's see.
What is that pink thing crawling out from beneath the purple bush?
Pink.
At the very top panel, with the giant bee approaching that purple bush at the foot of the steps.
Uh huh.
Pink down there. I can't figure out what that is.
That's just water. It looks like water.
Oh, there's like a fish in it.
Yeah, and the fish is flying out of it.
You know what that reminds me of is Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, it
one
does.
Fish,
you're
two
right.
Fish, blue fish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pink fish. Yeah. I don't think pink fish was in there, but yeah, I know what you mean.
No, but even the pink and the wavy, lighter pink line.
Yeah.
Is reminiscent of.
It is. You're right.
And then the blue fish, definitely.
Well, I'm sure Dr. Seuss spent some time in the immateria.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he did.
I think we all spent some time in the immateria, but that's neither here nor there. So we're on these steps. And in this case, you notice that the steps here are going down, since we were making such a big deal about the elevators going up.
Mm.
Of course, steps go up, too.
Yeah, but they're descending.
Yeah, descending from like a temple or something, you're right.
Yeah, and
I like all the broken steps.
Now, one of the things that's important, I think, is relating the little text bubbles that we're actually reading in terms of what's being said. So, for instance, the classic thing about the chair mm-hmm. and being in the imagination, and all of a sudden several chairs appear. Everybody's imaginatives are separate. I mean, because everyone has their own space.
Mm-hmm.
You don't immediately have somebody, you don't have a living room appear here. What do you think the stars mean?
Wait,
that sort of the glamour of...
Oh, the ones around Promethea, you mean?
Yeah.
The stars. That's it. That's interesting, because the stars are, I think they're it's an energy field.
Yeah, and it's also, I think, in relationship to World War II.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree.
World War One.
Yeah, World War One.
I mean, World War One.
Off of their pictures.
Yeah, is that right?
You know?
We just
yeah.
wanted to clarify that a little bit.
But okay, what the palindrome?
A lot of the stuff had all those, like, almost so many things that you see from that time frame have stars in them.
It looks to me like a Decepro too. Though there's 10 stars in that panel. Are you talking? There's 10 stars there in the panel, and that would be...
Which panel? I'm sorry.
With the, I don't know what page you're on. I'm on the page with Sophie Vang.
Going
Sophie
down Vang. The steps?
Above that.
Oh, okay. So on the right-hand side of the page.
Yeah, there's 10 stars there.
The...
is the beginning of the Kabbalah, the Tree of Life.
Yes, yeah, since I'd like us to be able to get to the tarot reading relatively.
Yeah.
The page and go on to the next illustrations. And I think the interesting thing here is the ice cream cone.
Ice cream cone. Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. And
top hats and ladies' hats.
Yeah, and of course the hat reminded me of the Mad Hatter.
Yes, of course.
Neither here nor there. There's also the a partial face of a clock, and there are eyes looking
eyes.
In.
And I mean, I think even just the background colors here are very significant. The down in the lower panel, spreading onto the right page, you know, you go from the yellowy. Orangey to the deeper orange into the reds and finally
and
into that fiery purpley red.
I think this was
and
one of
the
most...
We have the Hun helmets.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
on a snail.
Snails.
On snails, yes.
And there's your roses, Johanna.
Yeah, right. Okay. Definitely. I think this is one of the most beautifully challenging and illustrated chapters.
I agree. And like I said, it really caught my eye for the first time. The illustrations really leapt out at me beyond the words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just incredible. You could sit and look at these illustrations for hours and find something new in them.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think that the... what's being talked about is the nature of imagination.
Yeah.
And how they all represent different things. Then it says, Promethea, people are more aware of this vast immaterial realm and it tempts them to explore it. Imagine if too many people followed. This is where she has the stars in her hand. It's like an invitation.
Yes.
In that way, that energy field, the idea that you mentioned, Johanna, fits into that from matter to mind, and then she mentions here it could be called the rapture.
Now has arrived.
The opening of the 32nd path.
Mm-hmm.
Any Kabbalists there got anything they want to say about the opening of the 32nd path?
Not the path of the world.
Yeah, I think so. We call it the awakening or the revelation or the apocalypse, but the end of the world will do. And then we flip over. And now we got World War II image with the crooked swastika and the ICBM missiles and the crucifixion.
Yeah.
And marching soldiers who are...
That's the crow, the raven. My word, that is just incredible. And the bleeding roses. I love the bleeding roses.
Mm-hmm.
And the men walking, but they're only lower torsos.
Yep, with the helmet.
Mindless beings. Yeah.
And then the bleeding roses.
And the whole ground is paved with skulls.
Yeah.
And, well, we have flags here of nations.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What's the flag in the center, though?
It's the Soviet Union flag.
The one in the very center?
No, the one with the blue
hammer,
and the yellow, you mean?
Yes. Because remember, that's the most important. Those, whatever's the center panel should be...
That's the hammer and sickle.
No, it isn't.
No, because that's
it looks
with
like
yellow
a,
on it.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, well, it's there. The hammer and sickle is there. It's a big flag, as is the American flag.
No.
We're talking about the little flags.
The little flags that are...
Side to side.
Well, you have the crusader flag.
I see Switzerland. No, I don't see Switzerland. I see Japan.
Is it Norway, maybe?
Right by Japan. Right. The one by
Japan. I see Great Britain. I see Israel.
I guess if you looked at some flags of the world, you could have done
it. Yes, because...
In the notes on page 58, here's a list of the flags.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Okay. Number 8 and 9, they don't know what it is, but it says the flag 7 is Japan.
Yeah.
And the one next to it has Barbados.
Botswana, Norway.
Yeah.
Burkina Faso, Cuba, Germany, Barbados, United Kingdom, Iran, Israel, Slovakia.
You know, I think this is more than just World War II. I think it is World War II, but I think this is all of the wars that came after World War I,
with the crucifixion, it basically includes all of the wars.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
and the impaled torsos on stakes. Did anybody notice those?
Yes.
Over to the
left.
Yeah,
yep.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, the issue here is
there's a scimitar up at the very top on the left-hand side. It's kind of tucked behind.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's part of the hammer and sickle.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm looking over left of that.
I don't think it's a scimitar. I think it's just barbed wire because there's something on the right hand side.
Yeah, I see it. It does travel.
But it does look like a scimitar, definitely.
Uh-huh. And then we have the, interestingly enough, dragonfly kind of creatures, but they have actual helicopter propellers on
mm-hmm.
them.
Yes.
Out of them.
Technology, nanotechnology.
Black locust helicopters, you know,
right.
that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing. So
let us continue on to the next two pages.
This is incredible.
Isn't this wonderful?
The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse is just
yeah. That is, to me, a minor masterpiece right there. I love it.
Exactly. It's incredible.
I wonder if that was taken from anything or... Or has been otherwise developed. Let's see. A crab with a mask on its back. This reminds of the legends of how crabs with a human face on their shell appeared on the island of Japan. Oh, yeah, that's the famous story.
Oh, I didn't know that
story. After a battle.
Mm.
Huh?
I didn't know that story. That was interesting.
Yeah.
You know, something that I noticed, too, on this page, not in the top part, but in the bottom, the skulls that they're walking on become eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And then little bats are hatching out of the eggs, bats with calico wings.
Mm-hmm. The next one has strong tarot association.
Oh, doesn't it, though?
Mm. Yes.
Absolutely.
And in some ways... sort of, you know, as they're floating around in this sort of poppy rose thing, she says, well, the one that deals with the earth, which I think is the first one.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She says, 1/10 of an iceberg that is visible with highlight of reality. matter is that part of being that is crystallized, the mind's eye has been petrified into concrete substance.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's the definition of Earth, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then if somebody want to read the blurb that goes with the moon.
Beyond substance is imagination, the moonlit realm of dream and fiction, sexual fantasy, and unconscious mind. These lunar attributes, imagination and romance, are the gem-crusted gateways of the interior.
Ah, see, so there, and of course there's also the intimation of the eroticism bringing
right.
Mm-hmm.
into materializing Then I get, and the next one, if my serves me right, is that looks like little Mars.
That's right? Mars,
no,
yeah.
Mercury. Yeah.
Mercury. Yeah.
Yeah.
And down at the bottom, there's the symbol for Hermes.
Mm-hmm.
Hermes down at the bottom,
yeah.
which is the
Iagus,
and the numbers
yep.
that go along with mathematics and Hermes Trismegistus.
And the bats turn into umbrellas. But let's look at the thing that it has to say about Mercury here.
Yeah, that's very much the magician. No, let's see, they're just the way in. Beyond the lunar sphere lies the mercurial domain of intellect and science, of magic and of language. Humankind's most precious gift, communication, has its wellspring here. Still, intellect isn't everything. Something I have to remind myself of constantly, by the way.
Well, these are... Wait, we're going from Earth to, we're going from Malkuth to Yesod, which is the moon. Then we're going to Mercury, which is Hod. I mean, they're giving a little hints of the tree, right? That's what I'm saying here.
Right. And they are, then the next is Venus.
Mm-hmm. Which is Netzach. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the immateria, it's the map of what's inside people. Not just the universe beyond them. So in some ways, we're getting a little more knowledge of, you know, the deeper initiatory things that are going to be happening.
And Johanna, did you notice in the Venusian realm, there is a blue rose?
Of course, of the impossible. Hey, I didn't make up the stuff. That's one thing in which I will tell you. I did not make it up.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
There he is. So are those a blue rose? Are those rose petals or are those mint leaves?
No, what happens, that looks like it's one of the old roses.
Uh-huh.
You know.
One of the heirloom roses.
Do you know I couldn't do a hybrid rose? That's a very interesting thing. I know how to draw a hybrid rose. I know how to draw a rose. Let's put it that way. But I couldn't draw a hybrid rose for the four roses. I had to draw one of the old roses, the ancient roses. I go, I'm going over, but why are my roses coming out almost like circular? I didn't even know about the old roses at that time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So it talks about the landscape of emotion. So the emotion is brought very much into the land of Venus. And then the next symbol... which I guess is Leo, but
yeah.
I'm not quite sure. They've got crosses up there. Is
no,
right?
this may be the world card. This may be the world.
It's the sun. It's the Tiferet. It's the center of the tree.
Oh, it's the sun. Okay.
Yeah, and then in the notes it says lion and the lamb.
Right.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense then.
And we talked about this, Paul, when we talked about the vertical and the horizontal being in the center of the tree.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. There. All right. That makes sense now. Yeah. I see what you were saying. And so now we're passing that still more rarefied, more tenuous even than the feelings of love, or sorrow, lie the golden soaring reaches of the human soul. This is the burnished fleck of self within each individual. The highest human plane within the immateria. You know, and I mean, in terms of my understanding, is that the heart, which is what that is, the solar, this heart represents not only the center of human beings, but it is really what steers. chakras. And so if you, a lot of people like to say, you know, in the chakra system where they go above the heart. The purpose of all of the things that are above the heart in human beings is to serve the heart.
Right.
The heart is always the, you know, if you think you can steer the world with your third eye, or with your star sword chakra, you're deluding yourself. The heart remains the.
The heart.
it remains the center.
And you know, something else with the sun also is the idea, again going back to tarot, but not the Rider-Waite-Smith, but the older tarots, the melding, the joining, the coming together, the reunion of the male and female energies. I think that's very important there too, with the heart and the soul.
Okay, so we're climbing the tree. Here we have next to our Gabura and Kesed. Because we got Mars, which is Gabura, and Jupiter, which is Kesed. So we have the balance. Now, remember I always took exception to the Golden Dawn, where they put the balance justice? I always said it was always on the path of Teth and the snake, not the path of Lamed. And he's sort of verifying that for me.
So in other words, justice is...
is 8, not 11.
8, not 11, yeah.
I mean, the balance between...
The path of justice goes from Gavura to Teferet, and that's the scale.
That's the Golden Dawn interpretation. I always question that. I had a big argument with some ceremonial magicians on that because they said, oh, justice is not Teth, it's Lamed. It has to be Lamed. But, you know, making a square peg fit a round hole, you know, that type of thing. So I think that that's up to debate. According to, he's saying that the balance is between, yeah. Well, also, yes, I could see where you could say that the sun to... Gabura. I could see that now in the interpretation. But I always wonder about that.
I mean,
with the justice card, she's holding a sword and she's holding scales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have the Mars here.
Right.
That's pure
Mars. And then we have Jupiter, which I guess is coming up.
Right.
What does he say about? So it says the issue here with Mars is judgment.
What?
We're moving through the stern and martial stratosphere of universal judgment, tilting on the very balance of the cosmos.
The other thing that Mars is, as we all know, is its energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole classic thing of Mars. Mars being judgment. It's really Mars. I mean, that makes sense if you're a soldier. You're going to kill somebody. That's your judgment.
Yeah.
But the classic thing here probably makes sense that it's strength. I've always been oriented towards the strength idea.
And for those who... I also put down strategy for Mars.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oops. One card popped out of the deck. Hold on. Let's see what we got. Science, Six of Swords. As we're talking of this is interesting. Okay.
Well, we obviously are discussing one of the major biases that we have.
Science is the new battleground?
Yeah.
Could be. Yeah. Who's got the best, biological weapon. Okay. Shall we cut the cards? Because we really only have a
lot. Well, let's finish.
Okay.
We're almost done. So why don't we go, let's deal with Jupiter. That is Jupiter, right?
Definitely.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry, which is Jupiter?
The
very last panel, okay?
Okay.
The last panel. We have here a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 card layout. So basically the seven planets are being presented. And the flipping past universal judgment, we go to mercy. And so here Jupiter is mercy or generosity, as I like to see Jupiter. As the chasm is the far edge of existence, I don't worry. Remember, this is a journey. So this is also where she is flipping out, and Promethea and Sophie are separated.
Yeah, and the stars, now two of them, peel off and connect to Sophie.
Yes, they do.
I think it's interesting that you human beings really can't go any much further on the tree than the abyss, and they the supernal triad much higher.
And also, well, the next page, when we're in the hospital, it seems like Ken, our psychic, can look into the immateria.
Yeah. Yeah, and he kind of leaves Stan behind, you know, kind of like fading out there. Listening to me, bud.
And also the elevators show down now.
Yes, they do. Some of them show up. So that's comforting, isn't it?
We have the world, and then she's still washed.
Yes.
Literally, in the in the world of imagination.
And I'll tell you, on these pages, the single image that really caught my eye is that the wings of the birds are hands.
Yeah, they're almost like gloves, gloves with a wrist.
Uh huh.
Yeah, and again, there's the
hands,
and a wristwatch.
And the crab with the face. By the way, that's the painted doll face on the back of the crab.
Where is the crab? I don't even see
this,
it.
It's next to where the bird is with the gloves.
Oh, right there. I have my
hand. Now, the painted doll didn't come up yet, right?
Right.
It's mentioned a few times. He's been mentioned.
Mentioned, but
like
not the visual.
I think he shows up in the next chapter. Within the next two chapters, he shows up in full blaze of his dysfunctional glory. So, as I said, it's tangential to us. And then the last picture, we have two of these sort of gargoyles. Are those gargoyles?
Yeah. And their tongues are intertwined.
And their tongues are intertwined. That's a form of intimacy.
I didn't know gargoyles engaged in that.
And then it says principality, I guess.
Principality.
Principality of High Brazil.
Neptune is.
And we have sort of classic wedge Mayan.
Yeah, Mayan images.
Style.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of heads. By the way, I did want to say that the deliriums, pan delirium,
right.
Looked a little bit like the heads on those birds look a little bit like Jack Faust.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
I noticed that too.
And in fact, you know, Jack Faust does attempt to be a spoiler. He isn't necessarily bad, but he isn't particularly good. He sort of likes to distract, which is the classic view of misdirection that magicians do.
Yeah, and on that page also, the bubbles turn into baseballs, like throwing a curved ball.
Good one, Johanna. That's very, very good. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, if we've got some time, we've got about 30 minutes left.
Okay. I got the deck ready here. I'm shuffling.
Does anybody have an issue or a question? I mean, we created one already, which we got an interesting commentary on, which is the Six of Swords. as biased during our Mars's Judgment or Strength discussion. But anybody want to say anything specifically about the Six of Swords as it might relate to that that discussion? Yeah, or does anybody have a question that we want to deal with?
Well, the Six of Swords is about clarity, in my mind. I think we need to talk about clarity. We need some clarity on these issues.
And all, the sixes ruled, I mean, for me, sixes, and most numerologists believe that six is the number of Venus.
Okay. Yeah.
In numerology. So it just shows the...
And obviously for the talk deck, it says science. You know, represents the spirit of knowledge.
You know. Well, a question, or just let's see what the chapter has to offer us.
I'd say let her rip.
Let her rip? Okay.
That's my opinion.
Okay, we're letting it rip, kiddos. Very interesting. First position. We're still doing the elemental power spread, okay?
Uh-huh.
We've got oppression, Ten of Wands, and fire. I love this. In water, we have art.
Okay.
Also known as temperance. In air, we have...
So what was the first one again?
Oppression, Ten of Wands.
Okay, Ten of Wands. Okay. And the second one
is art.
Art.
Mm-hmm. Or temperance, as we know it.
Right.
In air, the third one is Six of Cups, pleasure. And the final the manifestation here on Earth is strife, the Five of Wands. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I could see that.
Based on...
And
hidden,
the Five of Wands, what's his name for that card?
Strife.
Strife.
Strife, okay.
Now, the hidden motivation is the Five of Swords, defeat. Very much, very warlike, isn't it?
What is this?
The hidden motivation.
Right. The hidden motivation. And again, the card is?
Defeat. Five of Swords. Oh, wow. And I did shuffle this. I just shuffled it. You heard me shuffling, right? And the future outcome? Is disappointment, Five of Cups. I shuffle this deck like crazy, and all these fives.
Yeah.
Let's see what the arc of influence. Emperor.
Emperor is the
is number
seventh place.
Seventh, okay. Right?
That's so cool because again, that's. Somebody maintaining the status quo. You know, I mean,
right.
Firm control and trying to maintain their power.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the eight, which is on the apex of the arc, is failure. Seven of pentacles or discs. And the next one, the ninth card, is wealth. Oh, God. Wealth is the Ten of Pentacles, but many times it's called the inheritance card.
Uh-huh.
What you inherit from past actions or plans.
And I often see it, too, just in general, as what you leave to future generations.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Very interesting.
And what's his name for the Ten of Discs again?
Ten of Discs is wealth.
Well,
it's all about the money.
It's all just what they
and
said.
And the Seven of Discs is named...
Name of some.
Failure.
It's Failure.
Failure. Okay.
Why?
Excuse me?
Why do you call that the Seven of Discs as being
Failure? We're doing it from the Toth deck.
Right.
No, that's what it says.
That's
failure.
That's just the name on the.
That's the keyword on the card.
The keyword,
Keyword on the card. And the keyword for the Five of Cups is...
The keyword for the Five of Cups...
Disappointment.
I've
got to leave now. Hang on, I'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
Oh, did anyone download the reading last time? Did anyone look at the images?
Oh, I did, yes.
Okay.
Will you do that again, Joanna?
I'll do it again. I'm developing my own what do you call Toth library over here in images.
We're gonna have to pay for you to have more storage, more memory on your computer.
Oh please, I want to get Windows 7 so badly.
I have it, and it's okay. I won't say I'm enamored with it, but it's okay.
Well, compared to my slow system here, you know.
Well, very interesting looking cards. I can't wait to. I mean, I do love having it available to download, but one of the things that I have been doing is just going straight for the deck after we get off the call.
Yes.
And laying out the spread myself.
Right.
I have Orpheus.
That's right, you do.
And it's lovely.
Oh man! Well, it seems without fearless leader, we've all. Fallen.
Yes. Well, let's continue. We might as well. Oppression. What does the fire? This is like fire. Another fire card in a fire position.
Yep.
And that's the physicality. That's the physical reality.
Yeah.
That no matter. Whatever it is that we're. That the cards are saying. Basically, it's a real bummer.
Uh-huh.
It is not an elevated state of being, that's for sure.
No. And, you know, I'm looking... Correct me if I'm wrong, Johanna, but isn't the fire, the water, and the air, those three actually, in this spread, sort of come together to lead into the earth?
Yes, you're correct. You're totally correct, yes.
So what we have here is... The
strife.
Oppression, the attempt to manipulate that with the art, and getting interfered with by pleasure, and it ends up putting us into strife.
Right.
So,
there seems to be a sadistic element here, too.
Yeah.
Pleasure, I mean, there are people who get off on power.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Let's be honest. I mean, one way or the other, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and that's what a lot of the whole thing was about.
Yeah,
was the people who want the power are who are out to get her. The people who want to keep the status quo. The people who don't want the world to realize or acknowledge the immateria are unwilling to give up that power and therefore will do whatever's in their power to stomp down anybody who offers the chance to immateria.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it seems...
You know, the funny thing is, I'm not even so sure, just speaking for the real world, that those who are in power, some of them maybe, but I'm not sure that all of them are even aware of the immateria. I think they are just so mired in, I got it good, I don't want to think anything beyond this, you know.
Well, the drug is power. Their poppy seed is power.
Yes, but I don't even think they are necessarily aware of that. And I'm not trying to give them an excuse. I'm just saying...
No, they're aware of only keeping others from any form of experience.
Yes, because it's what...
Period,
it
whether...
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
religion itself is a way to maintain control over the masses.
Of course.
Well, wait a minute.
Let's
discuss power in a couple of different ways. Because, you know, I'm a feminism 101 here. You know, there's three kinds of power in a classic view. There's power over, which is what's just been discussed. we don't have a problem with that. That's definitely a relative. It's the use of force to oppress others and to and the use of fear and intimidation to make people do what you want.
However,
there's also two other styles of power, there's the power that comes from within, which could be the power of the imagination, the power of a creativity, and there's also the power among or with each other, the power that we give each other, the power that we share with each other, the power that by sharing becomes more than just our individual
greater
power.
Than the sum of its parts.
Yeah,
because maybe that's immateria. Promethea may be the power inside.
Yes, and
the power as a universal.
But also her coming out in terms of the magic could be also the power among.
That's true.
You know, because you know, the power over, they use the other powers, but what it is they order them differently. So people who are into power over order them differently. And it may be that people from the power within, it could also be mystics who, you know, look at the world and transform it through their love and care, so that in their presence the things that oppress you suddenly, you know, evaporate.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people like that, but there's a few of them out there.
Johanna, was the seven, was the emperor the card number seven?
Yes.
And card number eight was failure?
Card number eight was failure, and card number ten was wealth.
Seven of discs.
And now remember, this sort of is the arc of influence of disappointment.
Right.
And we have to think of it as disappointment in our leaders. We, the people, have to dictate...
Disappointment in our health care plan.
Yeah. Well, no, but I got news for you. If people demanded more of their leaders...
We might get a little...
No, we have to demand more of ourselves first.
Yes, that's true.
Good point.
For instance, I have a lot of people come to me, and many times I have... I hate to use the word I, but it's because it's... case specific. I give them little rituals to do or procedures to change their vibe, but I said you have to now do an act of kindness or good. You have to, it has to be uncomfortable. I'm saying don't give just a dollar to your favorite charity. Cough it up a bit.
Yeah.
Because you cannot ask a change in your life without a sacrifice. Of some sort. It doesn't work. And I'm big in volunteerism. I volunteer. As much as I do my work, I do have an active volunteer life. Totally mundane. Totally mundane. No pie in the sky. You know, and I that's another way I pay back.
And you know, Johanna, that's very interesting because I used to do a lot of volunteer work. And with one thing and another over the past 10 years or so, that's all kind of dropped by the wayside. And I would say that the abundance of my life has kind of dropped by the wayside.
Too. Yep.
So, there's something very...
And mine is just the opposite. Although I consider what I do on Tearful Life some of it volunteer.
I do too. Yeah, I guess.
But, thanks. I mean, you're welcome. I mean, I used to be super involved in Girl Scouts and other things as well. And I mean, a ton of my time was given to that. And then I just considered the last 10 years I had to give to myself and share of that. And I see that in ways that I do other things. I mean, between, you know, the group stuff and everything.
Yeah.
You're also giving back. You're giving back what you're developing within yourself. So it's giving in another way.
Mm-hmm.
And it may go back to mundania volunteer at some point, but...
Well, one of the main things I find a problem, and also Crowley in his magical writings speak of this is whether you do something out of ego or not.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. If you're doing something expecting to get something back, that's not the same thing as doing it just to be doing it.
Right. I used to always say, I hate to do dishes.
Yeah.
So if I did dishes for you, I've given you a huge gift.
Right.
If I take your garbage out, I've given you nothing. Because I don't mind dragging a garbage can out of the street. You know?
Exactly.
You know, so it's like,
right.
You can't look at the exact end product. It also comes from within the gifter.
Yeah. Interesting. But I don't see anything here in the way of, I mean, in the reading, in the way of sacrifice or giving. This all seems very centered on maintaining the status quo. And by doing that, those of us who are looking for more end up disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's amazing.
Yeah,
and five is more. It's the number of Mars. It's the number of the Seraphot of Mars. I mean, how more accurate can we get? You know what I'm saying?
And the key in what the sentence you said is looking for, expectation of.
Mm-hmm.
It's that brings the disappointment.
Yeah.
Those of us who know better or think we know better or think that it can be better are bound to be disappointed. I mean, at the state of things currently.
Five of Cups, by the way, is Mars in Scorpio.
Mm.
Got a little sting going on there, too.
Yeah.
Val, have you been on here all this time?
No, I was an hour late. I was out running errands. I totally forgot it was Wednesday. I mean, totally forgot it was Wednesday.
I was going to say, I haven't heard you say anything until now. Where did you come from?
I've been here maybe 40 minutes, 45 minutes.
Ah.
Well, yes, Val sort of stays in the distance and just listens. I know you're tight, Val. Well, that's great.
I'm going to have fun listening to this recording later to find out what you guys are talking about.
Silent, dangerous.
Yes, exactly. You take it all in, and then you come out with your own pearls.
Thank you, Johanna, for the recordings. I enjoyed it.
You know, looking at this whole reading, it really does seem oppressive.
Yes, doesn't it?
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah, I mean,
we have a lot of five.
Yeah.
And then we have the double of five with the ten.
Uh-huh. And
then just oddities thrown in there. I mean, even...
Well, oh, temperance
is really important. Temperance is a five.
Wait. Everyone's talking over each other, please. One at a time. Temperance, art, emotional...
Five,
no,
11.
You see, the transformation card is in the emotions.
Uh-huh.
Now, the thing is I think temperance actually is the key to getting out of this quagmire of aggression.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I would agree. I mean, and the Fool's Journey, you know, it's set right down in the middle of your stressor card.
Mm-hmm.
And also, and I think that with Crowley, he emphasizes art. So he's by emphasizing the art aspect of temperance, he's bringing in a real creative engagement. You know, this is sort of like, you know, every time we read the tarot, we sort of redraw it in our imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, but like now, position 7 and 9 are the foundation of 6. So
yes.
The Emperor and the 10 of Discs, wealth, are what lead us to the disappointment. I mean, so it's following the rules, desiring success, that don't lead to the place we need to be to reach Immateria. And that leads us to the disappointment. It's staying in this realm and the laws of this realm.
And by this realm, you mean the world without the escape of the immateria.
Hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And if we stay too much within the world.
If we read cards 8 and 6 together, we're supposed to get some further insight into the outcome.
Yeah, that doesn't look so
seven
good.
Seven of Pentacles is the Trove of the Spirit deck that I use. It's called the Garden. If you plant the right seeds, then you get the right fruit. You get the right harvest. And so, to me, it's about planting the proper seeds so the spilling doesn't take place. What do you call five? I call it spilling. You call it what?
Oh, it's disappointment here.
Disappointment. So if you plant the right seeds in your garden, you're going to get the right fruit and the right crops.
If you start by planting the seeds of disappointment, you probably are going to get failure.
You reap what you sow, right? Yeah.
So you want to plant the right seeds.
The emperor is a lousy gardener anyway, right?
Yeah.
And if you go by the visual, the emperor card is facing away. Oh, sorry. Facing away from everything.
Ah,
like he's not even part of the situation. It's like he's so detached from what's going on. All he has is his own agenda.
Yep.
Well, that's the lawgiver as selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I make the laws. You know, that was what most of my insight when I was politically active in local politics in San Francisco. I decided that the reason people got into these things is they wanted to make the rules so they could benefit by them.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
The whole servant leadership thing is just not a part of modern politics.
Right.
They ain't a part of it at all.
Well, that's why we voted for President Obama, because we had the feeling, or the nation had the feeling, that he was going to break the rules.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And he ended up being ridiculously, and basically he traded away the farm for a few handful of seeds.
But the rules were already set. That's the problem. The problem is that the you know, it's like playing with the, it's my ball. It's not the president's ball, really. It's the society or the social structure's ball. And you play, and therefore, I make the rules.
Well, that's the reason why a lot of people said, well, you know, we can only have this idiot Bush for 8 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For 4 years. I was surprised.
How did we have him for 8 years? I know. I can't even talk about it. I just get too.
No. I'll go. I will go into significant.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the reading. I want to go back to the reading here.
Yeah.
You know, if I look at the Emperor card.
Save us from ourselves, David. Yeah.
If I look at the Emperor card, Johanna, you said that he was looking away. If you look at the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, he's looking directly
forward,
at you.
Yes.
Looking forward, and so he's facing the issues head on. And the Ten of Pentacles to me is about the great work. His great work is overcome his disappointment. And he does that with the Seven of Pentacles by planting the proper seeds in his garden and getting the proper crops.
Yeah, I think that's key, is planting the proper seeds. I'm glad you said that.
Mm-hmm.
You plant the wrong seeds, you get the wrong crop. You plant the right seeds.
But not only that, it's nurturing. If I have to go with the sacred rose image, it's that you can plant all you want, but if you don't nurture, you're not going to get much.
So we go back to the whole idea of the secret. You plant the right property, you plant things on in your vision quest, you're going to get what you want eventually.
Well, plant and nurture. You have to nurture.
Well, in terms of outcome being disappointment, then, the actual wealth issue is can come. In other words, you're really saying that one is not fully determined to fail and to feel disappointment. That one could succeed if you look at those values differently.
That's right.
Yeah, John. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What you consider as wealth as well. Yes, that's true.
But what is it telling us about what's going on with Sophie and Promethea now?
Oh, I think that's all temperance.
Is she about ready to, as the proverb, the shake hits the fan, as it were?
Now, I didn't read ahead because I didn't want to know. But I would say that Promethea, Sophie, is going to take on more responsibilities by the Ten of Wands oppression, and that her the key to her ability is the Temperance or Art card,
which is part of mastering immateria,
right?
Where she isn't being attacked by every
the alchemical aspect. Oh, I want to ask if I could ask a question. Now here I am. Has anyone ever Vistitia interionum terra recitif condo? Has anyone ever translated this in no veris occultum ladium?
What is that from?
I do not know. I will have to try, and we should find out what the words mean around the Temperance card, or put it up on Ning and see if anyone knows.
Well, there is a if you write it out, there is a Latin translation program floating around.
It's really poor, though.
I know it's not very good, but I think you might be able to get the gist of what's being written there.
Well, Cynthia's son is a Latin scholar, so maybe I'll give her the project.
Yeah, I think she had to leave us.
Yes.
Yeah, she did.
But I would really just let's Google it and find out if we can find the words that surround temperance.
Yeah.
I think that's important to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. And as again, as I said, what's happening? Like one of the ways that I always interpret temperance is equanimity and equanimity in the sense of detachment, not in being removed from something, but in not being reactive to something.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, there.
Okay, I found it.
Oh, you did great! Oh, great!
Very so good.
Yeah.
Okay, this is in the collection. It says from Akron Banzoff's Handbook to the Cards.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
There shines a giant sun with the inscription Vista Interior Tradi Recipe Infinia Macalum Lebanon. Visit the interior parts of the earth. Semicolon by rectification. You shall find the hidden stone.
Oh!
Those alchemical.
This person felt they were talking about the philosopher's stone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wanted to have another insight into this whole reading for a minute. Share it with my. Okay? If I read the cards from right to left, Yod Heh Vav Heh, it's struggle, and that's what she's going through. She has to be honest with herself. The path of honesty is all about temperance, and she's dealing with her past. She's dealing with the Six of Cups, and then she moves into the Pentacles, which is the Five of Wands. Is that Five of Wands?
Yeah.
The Five of Wands, okay, which is fear, okay? So she's dealing with all those issues. And no, her fear is her hidden motivation card is fear. The Five of Swords.
Right.
And if she continues with her fear, she's going to have the outcome of spilling of, I don't know what the Poe deck is in Five. Disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be disappointed in the whole situation. But the cards 7 and 9 and 8 take care of all this. It smooths it all out for her. And those cards are really important as far as I can see.
Well, and right away, the Five Wands, they appear to be at odds with each other. Yet if they all took a moment and, you know, came together, they could easily make the pentagram, right, the symbol of magic.
They would just read the instruction book. Yeah.
Right. So I agree. She's very close to putting it all together.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think so.
All right, we're approaching our end time, and so if anybody's got any
That sounded so profound.
Words that anybody wants to say.
Yeah, I want to thank Johanna for today, because I think, Johanna, your idea of going back and looking at the photo, I mean, the picture, is really, really important.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Well, that's the artist in me. What can I tell you?
But, you know, it is a graphic novel, after all, you know. I mean.
Yeah, and it's hard listening to the words. If you want to look at the pictures and read the words at the same time.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that's a typical male problem because of our corpus callosum.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't as thick as it is in women.
Yeah, if we can balance out our sessions by looking, by reading the words and looking at the pictures, I think that will enrich the whole experience much more.
Yeah, it also helped me with the issue that I brought up, which is staying on track, which we talked about.
Yep.
The characters and the action of the actual novel rather than our opinions of Henry Corbin's theories of the...
But you know what, though? I maybe it's just me, but it's like all of a sudden, I've been enjoying this, but all of a sudden with this chapter, it's like this whole Promethea story came alive for me.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know whether it's what's happening in the chapter. I don't know if we're finally out of prologue and into action. I don't know if it's just the graphics really grabbed me, but something... A switch flipped on for me.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny is I had a dream, and it was about an older woman making a bow this morning, and I hadn't read the book. I hadn't read Promethea yet. And she was, like, making so perfectly this bow in this dream, and that's really all I remember is this lady sitting there and making this perfect bow. And then when I'm reading Promethea today, there's the bows that are floating in the background.
Right.
Like, okay, that was a key that I definitely have to be on the call today.
Well, we're glad you had that dream, because we like having you here.
Yeah, we were glad you were here. Otherwise, spoken for Promethea.
Yeah.
Promethea.
I want to really thank everybody for being here. I think... there's going to be a couple of chapters that are kind of come up that might frustrate us a little bit because we'll back away into the arc of the story, which is, you know, more with the world, what's going on.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, we're getting it. The reason I suggest we read this as a guide to understanding the Toth Tarot is it gets really thick into the Toth Tarot. Maybe so much so that we may need to spend more than 1 week on some of the chapters. Yeah, but we'll come to that consensus when and if it arises.
Okay.
So,
I will see many of you at Reader Studio. Is everybody?
Yes, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I have so much work to do, but I'm so excited.
Well, I'll be wearing my Promethea helmet. No. I'll be there Saturday afternoon into the banquet, but that's the only time I will be there. So, say hello.
Look forward to seeing you there.
I just shipped myself 25 pounds of debris that I'm going to give away on the giveaway gift.
Oh, how fun.
Oh, wow.
And aren't you the generous Santa Claus?
Well, I don't know. Some of the stuff you're going to say, what does this have to do with tarot? But, you know, somebody...
Well, then we'll say, oh, well, this came from Paul.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, if it's some obscure book on it that nobody thought was related to tarot, you know it came from me. I decided this is, I've got this big, huge book called A New Kind of Science, which looks like an unabridged dictionary.
Oh,
big,
great.
Fat book. I'm giving that to Walt as a white elephant gift. I'll make a presentation. This will be on Sunday afternoon. I'll make a presentation to him.
Well, I'll be there.
As a white elephant gift to him. I know he's never going to read the damn thing, but I thought it would be simple to ship out.
Well, he can always use it for a doorstop, you know.
Exactly. I said this will help. Implode your apartment into the basement, you know.
Yeah, God knows Walt needs more books.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's funny. Well, listen, everybody. Thank you for this morning's call, and
have a great time in Reader Studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Miss you, David.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to be there, but next year maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, we hope. Yeah.
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 And I'll, Paul. I'll. I have a busy afternoon, so please bear with me. I will get you the layout to put up on the your website.
Hello.
And the recording. Okay.
Yeah, all right. All right. Yeah. There's no hurry in that.
And there was something else that somebody was going to post. What was it? I can't remember now. Oh, Johanna, you were going to send him the information about the physicist.
Oh, yes, right. The actual verification of alternative realities.
Yep.
Okay, so I have to make sure I give myself a reminder.
Yeah, the verification of alternative reality. There's my reality and there's your reality.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes I wonder about yours.
And on that note, I'm hanging up.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Please call me soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Has left the conference.